For our final discourse of the 1994 convention, Brother Tim Krupa of Portland has chosen as his subject, "It's Your Choice." It's your choice. Brother Tim.
Gather my saints together unto me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." My dear brethren, we did it. We gathered together, we spake often one to another, and we were glad. We were glad for the past 6 days that this was the house of the Lord. It was transformed into a temple. Jesus was teaching at the temple. There was quite a crowd, men, women, and lots of children. They were all eager to hear the words. It was a good week. We came here for instruction. We came here for upbuilding. We came here for encouragement. And it was here. We got the lessons. We were told what kind of work to do. We were told what kind of offerings to make. We were told what kind of foes would confront us. We were told it was a matter of life and death. They spoke about our Creator. They tried to give us an estimate of His dimensions and His love. They told us that He'd like a family. They told us that He's working on a new creation. They told us all about God's plan and some of the beautiful scriptures that were so encouraging and so contrary to some of the delusions that other men have created. That's exactly what we came here for. We also came here to get away. We wanted some spiritual solitude. And in this quiet place away, we raised our voices together in praise to Jehovah. And we were joined by our children in raising their voices in praise also. But now, this week has come to an end. And as we've said year after year, it's time now to go back home and to start using what we heard here this week. I think you got what you came for. Maybe in a quieter way than you were hoping. Maybe more subtle. But it was here. You heard about who you are. You're a slave. You're a steward. You're a light bearer. You're a fruit bearer. You're a sacrificer. You heard about God. You've heard about His Son, Jesus Christ. You heard about the relationship that you have with those two. You heard about the covenant that you have with them. You heard about baptism. You heard about the begettal of the Holy Spirit. Oh, you heard things from the Old Testament, the New Testament, Genesis, Exodus, all the way up through Revelation. Now what? Are you going to go home and say, I'm too busy? Am I going to go home now and say, I'm too tired? And am I going to go home and say, I've been injured just too many times? Am I going to go home and say, I've been slandered just one too many times? If we're going to go home and say that, we might as well have stayed at home. Amidst all that went on this week, and sometimes it was noise, and sometimes it was laughter, but amidst all that, I think there were one, maybe two messages that were designed and sent and delivered for you and only you. It may not have even come in a discourse. It may have come in fellowship, in a conversation, but the message was sent. I hope you were listening. I hope your mind was here. I hope your mind was tuned in to the things of the Lord. You know, there is such a thing as a double-minded man. James talks about it. He says it's an incredibly unstable situation. You know, it's worse than that. It's worse than being double-minded. The Greek word is the same word for soul. What James, soul means being. James is saying this is a double-beinged person. Not just a double mind up here. He says this is two whole persons in one. This is two lifestyles trying to get along together. You can't be double-minded. You can't be double-beinged and serve God. That's what you heard this week. You can't serve God and anyone else. You can't even serve God and anything else. Didn't you hear that this week? But the choice is yours. Now, you made a choice to serve the Lord. For some of you, it was a long time ago. You appreciated something that we now call the two salvations. You appreciated that there's a future kingdom here on earth. But you appreciated that now there was a heavenly call. And you just loved that scripture in 1 John 2:2 that tells us that our Lord died not only as the propitiation for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. You loved that. And you heard this invitation. And you said, if the Lord will have me as part of that group that's going to help in the kingdom, I want to help. You heard that, and you made a choice. You said, I'm going to choose that invitation. Some of you did that in Bloomington. Some of you did that in Chattanooga, I remember. Some of Western Kentucky. But that choice, that day, was not enough. The choice is continuous. You have to choose every day. That beautiful expression in Joshua 24:15, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Do you know what day the this day is? This day is this day. And tomorrow it's this day. Every day it's this day. You have to choose the Lord. You have to choose who your relationships are. You have to choose your employment. It's your choice. Witnessing? What you do with your character? What you do with your fruitage? Oh, it's not that easy, is it? You know, I have a master's degree in excuses. I can come up with incredible excuses. I think I have a PhD in rationalization. I don't have enough time, friends. I just don't have enough time. I don't have enough money either. I don't have enough friends. I don't have enough help. I don't have enough support. I don't have enough books. I don't have enough computers. There's all kinds of stuff I just don't have enough of. But the truth of the matter is, I do exactly what I choose to do. And blaming outside circumstances for a lack of total commitment to the Lord, like time, money, friends, resources, blaming outside circumstances, that's a joke. That's nothing but a joke. It's my choice. We heard it this week that we cannot be of the world, that we cannot serve two masters. But you know, we heard that in Chautauqua too. You know, we heard that same thing back in Albion. Same words. And what did we do? Well, we kept coming to General Convention. But you know, some people go to Grand Canyon every year. We hear the words, we come back to General Convention the next year. We hear the words, we come back to General Convention the next year. Are we going to go back this year and be the exact same people we were that came in? If you go home, if I go home, and I do the same thing that I always do, you know what I'm going to get? The same thing I always get. It's not enough. There'll be no progress. There'll be no change. You know, there's an expression, a good expression someone came up with. It's called the comfort zone. And it's like a territory that we live in and behave in. And it's the things that we do that we're comfortable with. If we get outside that border or that zone, oh, are we uncomfortable? But that is, by definition, a condition of non-growth. And we heard words this week and phrases this week like growth, change, be transformed, be filled, put on the new man. Even the word sanctify implies a change in us. Words like increase, turn around, change attitudes. Your comfort zone is what you always do. We have a Christian comfort zone, a Bible student comfort zone. It's going to the usual meetings. It's going to the usual conventions. It's studying the usual materials over and over again. Don't show me anything different. It's outside my comfort zone. Fellowshipping with the same people. Corresponding, entertaining. You know, there's also a comfort zone for our character. I have a patience comfort zone. Within that comfort zone, I can be pretty patient. But you give me a situation that's out over there, and hey, I'm not so patient. I have a sympathy comfort zone. I'm a pretty sympathetic person. But give me a situation out beyond my border that I'm used to operating in, you know, I'm not so sympathetic. Same thing is true for me in studying, in doctrine, patience, in witnessing. I heard some things this week that were outside my comfort zone that I'm supposed to do. I heard one or two from the platform. I heard more in conversation. You mean I'm supposed to be more patient this coming year than I was last year? I'm supposed to be more sympathetic than I was at Albion? Wasn't the Albion level of patience and sympathy, wasn't that enough? It was a lot more than the Bloomington level. But I heard this week that I needed to grow. I needed to change. I needed to be transformed. I needed to develop. And so I say to myself, am I really pursuing what I need to as a Christian? Or am I just living in some Christian Bible student comfort zone, doing the same thing, behaving the same way all the time? You know, I heard it this week, what I need to do the most. I didn't believe it at first, but then it came up again. My spiritual conscience told me that was it. It got me when I heard it. It bothered me. I immediately went into the excuse mode, but it just wouldn't go away. I heard it here. You know, I resented a little bit the person who gave me the instruction. I was blaming the messenger for the message. Who was he to be telling me to do that? Then I calmed down and I said, okay, don't blame the messenger. I needed that. I had people this week grabbing hold of my comfort zone and trying to make it, shake it. They were trying to get me to step outside and to do some other things. I was warned that you were warned that we can expect attacks. But along with that warning, we were encouraged. I think more than anything else this week, we were encouraged. God is not unjust to forget your labor of love. We were told that each of us has received a special gift to be employed in serving one another. We were told to catch the wind. Let that Holy Spirit get underneath you and carry you. Catch the wind. What an encouraging thought. And we were told that despite the testings, that they would never leave us nor forsake us. How encouraging it was to be reminded that we have a heritage, we have a legacy. It's part of us. And that's what made it a wonderful week. But you know, reality was here also. And as separated as we were from the world, we were still in the present evil world. Amidst the encouragement and the upbuilding and the love that we experienced, the spirit of flesh was still here. Amidst all that encouragement, all that love, some of you were hurt this week. Some of you had rough experiences in this last 6 days. Something was said or done. For a few of you, there were moments that you felt ignored. And there's nothing lonelier than to be in a large crowd and feel alone. I know that some of you cried this week. What to do with this kind of experience? It's still a choice. It's still a choice what to do with this kind of difficult thing. I don't think you should pretend that nothing happened. That's not being real. But I hope you can use the joy of this week to get you through that difficult episode. Use the joy of just one person's greeting to you. Wasn't there one person who greeted you like a long-lost friend with love and either a firm handshake or better yet a hug? Use the joy of that just one discourse maybe that you really got a jewel out of. Use the joy of that one testimony that really touched you. You don't have to go home with 100 testimonies that touched you. Believe me, you just need one jewel like that. Do you know which testimony I'm referring to? No, you don't know which one I'm referring to. Because I was touched by one I think probably different than you were. But you were touched by one or two, I know. Take home with you the joy of just one face that you saw from Germany, or one face that you saw from England or Romania or India. Just the picture of that face of one of your brethren. Take with home with you the joy to get you through some of those difficult, rocky things. The joy of those children up here singing last night. Singing, "Jesus loves me," for the 1,000,000th time. Don't tell me you can't repeat songs. Oh my goodness. And this time, they did it in sign language. Oh. Take home with you the joy of seeing those tracks in the back hall on the truth about hell designed by 13, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-olds and the one on the Trinity. Oh, what a joy! Nothing against the brethren who write our other tracks, but those were terrific. Oh, I'm saving some of those. Maybe it was the joy of a discussion that you had with someone. Maybe it was the joy of music that you can take home with you that touched your heart. And with all these things, you can say with confidence in your heart, "I am still the Lord's." 2 Corinthians 4:8, "Yes, we are troubled on every side, but not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair." I think one of the burning lessons of this week is that God is dealing with you as an individual. There's no group contract. If we are faithful, when our Lord, I can envision in the heavenly scene something that our Lord will take us and introduce us to the Father. He's not going to say, "And here's another one from the 1994 General Convention in Missouri, St. Joe." He's not going to say that. He's going to introduce you by name. I think it'll be the new name from Revelation 2:17. And I think your new name will be based, it'll be a descriptive name based on what you did in this life, based on who you were, and based on what choices you made. It's your choice. Now, please don't wait until you can do something perfect. Sometimes we say we don't want to do something, we don't want to try to witness because we would bungle it so much. We don't want to try to reconcile something because we couldn't do it very well. We don't want to even express love because, oh, we just couldn't do it very well. Don't do that. Don't. You heard this week that it's your effort, it's your intentions. So when you're thinking about expressing some love or some sympathy or serving, don't wait till you can do it perfectly. Stop that. Whatever level you can, go ahead and try. Even if you make a miserable mess out of it, we are to try. Even if you look foolish in expressing your love, give it a try. Even if you turn out to look absolutely stupid, go ahead for Christ and do the things and the principles that you heard this week. Go ahead and try it. Go home, brethren, and make lots of mistakes. But make them because you're trying to be Christ-like. But the choice is yours. The promises are there. The encouragement's there. The protection is there. The guidance, the support, they'll all be there. But regarding next week, it's your choice. What the Heavenly Father is looking for is something I would call total commitment. He wants somebody who will take an alabaster box, not just open it up and take a pinch out and put it out. He's looking for those who will pour out the entire alabaster box. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for a class that's willing to go through the stress of changing their characters. You're right on the edge, brethren, of going back into the world. You can't delay it much longer. But do it with confidence. Know that you're stronger now for having been here. You're stronger now for being together with your friends. And I mean your friends. Leave this place with a clearer purpose, with a greater resolve, and with more enthusiasm. I read a really short poem recently that I think fits the moment. "Come to the edge," he said. They said, "We are afraid." "Come to the edge," he said. They came. He pushed them. They flew. "Fly, my dear brethren, fly!" Like sparrows, we're hopping around on the ground. We're afraid to stretch out and fly and let that Holy Spirit carry us on the wind. Take some chances in regard to your character development. In closing, I want to tell you how much I've enjoyed being with you. And remember on Saturday evening, I related to you the little story about the Romanians and what they were called, and how they had no official name, but the people knew them as the people who talked about the millennium. And I hope we can also be known by that label. I hope we're also known as the people who had the courage to change, to grow. And let's also be known as the people who always went away for that week in the summer, and who came back better Christians for that week. Let's be known as light bearers. It's been a great pleasure congregating on the steps of the temple these last 6 days. And may the Lord see you safely home. And I mean eternal home.
Thank you, Brother Tim, for those thoughts on it's your choice and the challenge that you've given to each and every one of us. May the Lord bless you. One of the sad things about being a chairman is that you also have to bring bad news to a convention. After dinner this evening, Brother Carl Hagensack had shortness of breath and had to be taken to the hospital in an emergency ambulance. He is being checked out. We don't have his condition at this time. But he was taken by ambulance to the hospital. You might want to keep him in your prayers. We'll close this service now by singing all of the verses of hymn number 322. We'll arise on the last verse, and we'll ask Brother Tim to close this portion of the service with prayer. Hymn number 322.
Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many blessings on our behalf. We thank you most especially for the gift of your dear Son. We thank you for what we know of your plan of the ages. We thank you, dear Father, for the hope of the high calling. At this moment, we are so grateful for the week that we have spent together. We thank you for the instruction we have received. We pray that it would go into our hearts, that we might understand our responsibilities better, and that through being here this week, we might go home and more vigorously fulfill our vows of consecration. We are mindful of our brethren scattered the world over, especially those who are not as fortunate as we are. We ask that you would be with them in a special way. We ask that you would be with those that are going through special trials at this time, whether it's sickness or even more serious things. And our minds are with our brother Carl at this moment. But we know, Father, there are many that we do not know. And we ask that you would be with them all. We thank you for the joys and the blessings that we have received. And we pray for a greater measure of your Holy Spirit, that they would energize us to serve you better. We thank you for this privilege that we have experienced. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.